Hey friends, this is Rob Pizzola, CEO and President of Western Capital. I have to tell you, if you have not heard about Anchor by Spotify, it is absolutely the easiest way to make a podcast. Look, we know the easy ways. With everything, all you need in one place, let me explain. Anchor has the tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or your computer. When hosting on Anchor, you can distribute your podcast on listening platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many, many more. It's everything you need to make a podcast all in one place. And best of all, Anchor is totally free. We appreciate the time you're taking to listen to our podcast. Thank you, and take advantage of something that's free. Jump on anchor.fm right now and get started broadcasting your voice around the world. God bless, my friends.
You're now listening to the world famous Change Your Mind.
Change Your Mind.
Change Your Life.
Change Your Life.
Podcast. Broadcasting worldwide with your host, Robert Pizzola. Ladies and gentlemen, give way for Robert Pizzola. Broadcasting on 107.1 on the Man Cave Podcasting Network and beaming worldwide on the Spectavision Satellite Radio Network live from Las Vegas. Today's episode is brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, featuring sleek luxury and pure elegance. Visit your local Mercedes-Benz dealer today and take advantage of exceptional deals for 2022. Bringing you the top news and guests from around the globe on finance, credit, life, or just how to fix that dent in your pocketbook from COVID-19. It's Robert Pizzola.
Good afternoon, everybody. It's Rob Pizzola here in Los Angeles. Today we're looking at the markets, and it is Friday, May 13th, 2022. It's 1 o'clock back east. It's 10 o'clock here, 10:12, and we're watching the NASDAQ. Right now, the NASDAQ is up 424 points, which is actually good. So we're getting a little bit of the gain back. We've gone through some very, very difficult days. But Elon Musk, in the middle of the night last night, announced that he was going to put his deal with Twitter on hold. And naturally, I got that one when it came out. And I was like, well, 3 hours ago, he says he was going to put the deal on pause. I'm watching Bloomberg right now. And as we see on Bloomberg, Bloomberg is saying that his $44 billion takeover is still on and he's committed. But he wants to make sure that there's more detail on fake accounts. So on Twitter, I guess there are aged accounts and fake accounts. And he's probably paying per account, and that's the valuation that they came up with. Obviously, that's the way to do it. However, CNBC is saying this morning that a lot of the people inside Twitter they're leaving the company. There's also a hiring freeze at Twitter. They're not hiring right now. And these things are interesting. The reason I even bring these up is because the markets have been up and down completely in chaos in the past few days. And we discussed last week on Friday, I believe, the markets have been artificially lifted by the Federal Reserve. And the Federal Reserve has put a lot of money in since the beginning of the pandemic into the financial side of the market. Kind of propping it up, if you will. And a lot of people are making money right now. For instance, Twitter right now, as of a couple hours ago, there's 136 million profit for people that shorted Twitter. So, I mean, it's really a game I'm seeing, and we're in the middle of it. We are playing in it in some ways. Bitcoin, where are we at on Bitcoin? Bitcoin it's a crazy, crazy asset. We own quite a bit of it. However, with Bitcoin, the amount of dollar movement is very, 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 very high. So you have to be able to take the risks. So if you buy in, make sure you know wherever you're buying in. I did a show yesterday, and I said it was recorded a week ago. and then I went live, and it's actually on this platform now. But we said buy anything at $30,000 and below, or $30,000 and below, that you're going to be fine picking up. There's not really going to be a way to lose money on that. That probably is true. I wish I could have gone back and edited that, because I'm really not sure. But what's happening is the EBT returns on crypto are dismal. However, people are still buying it, and it's a $270 billion meltdown. So you have to realize there's $270 billion that has been pulled out of the Bitcoin, out of the Bitcoin profit. So, you know, if you're holding it, let's see, right now, this just came through, guys. MicroStrategy, which is very, very heavy on Bitcoin. Bitcoin bench hasn't blown up, but pressure rises. Bitcoin under 26,000 puts pressures. They're saying 26,000. I said 30,000. So, you know, that's a very MicroStrategy. If you look at that, you know, you really have to take a look at what they're doing. They're holding a lot of the property. They're holding a lot of the property of Bitcoin. Right now, there is a sell-off in the market. However, again, it's being propped up. And if any of you are actual analysts or are following this today, I'd like to talk to you. Just simply come up and ask to join. This is different than the type of show we usually do. It's different than the type of communication we have. But anytime I see something that benefits my coaches, my investors, my fund leaders, you know, it's obviously something that I want to discuss. So right now we're in the middle of the trading day. Grayscale, their Bitcoin fund hit a record discount after the SEC meeting. So that was done an hour ago. So the SEC had a meeting, and we're still trying to watch what's happening. MicroStrategy and their people, man, they're saying bye, obviously. But you know, we're still $270 billion down of dollar value over just a few weeks. The S&P 500 is up about 100 right now. The Russell 2000 is up about 60. So it looks like we're okay as far as where the markets are at right now. But guys, if you take a look and you go back and you look at the past, say, 10 days of trading, and you look at what we've been able to see, you're going to notice that there's been tremendous losses of 1,000-point plus days. So whenever I'm looking at this, hold on a second. Gold, okay. Gold's at 1811. We're very pro gold. I'm pro gold, pro silver, and obviously Brent future, the oil. We're back at 111 now. Man, I just wish I would have bought a tremendous amount when it was 56. You know, but with all of this happening. And still there's a question, guys, about what the Fed is willing to do because of the inflation. Right now, there's tremendous, tremendous, tremendous pressure on the White House and on Congress to act, to do something to clear up this inflationary issue. What they're doing is they're trying hard to keep things moving. However, you know, as I've told you guys before, you know, there comes a time when, you know, the rubber band can only be pulled so far. You can only extract a certain amount of money out of people before, you know, the rubber band is broken, that they can't handle it. And, you know, this is happening now all over the world, actually, with this rent increase. I mean, you got to realize, guys, and I'm sure in your areas, whatever areas you're in right now, whether it's Las Vegas, New York, Los Angeles, Baltimore, wherever it's at, you're noticing that people are getting notices on their door that say, you know, there was one complex that I believe it was in Atlanta this morning that had 55 units that were tagged and said, okay, you need to be out in 10 days. So what do you do when it comes down to that? A lot of people are saying that, you know, hey, I'm waiting for my government funding to come back and cover, you know, I might owe $7,000, $8,000, $9,000, but I'm waiting for my case to be reviewed. And that's something that has been an ongoing crisis. We've dealt with that out at Western Capital for a long, long time. And ever since that program came out, it has been handled as disruptive as you can imagine. There's so much money. There was so much money. I don't know where it's at now, but the states did not do anything to expedite that money to get it to landlords. So now you've got a lot of people. Guys, let me waiting. Give me 1 second here, real quick. And I think that there's a lot of people that are trying to figure out what they're going to do. Now, you and I all know, we all know. Okay, we got a couple guests waiting. I used to figure this out, but let's just push the button. There we go. There we are. Okay, we got Ted. Okay, yeah, take Ted. Okay, Ted, and we got Richard. You enjoy the sound of life. Okay, give me 1 second. Ted, we'll bring you right up, okay? Guys, it's a crisis right now. Whenever you take a look at what's going on with the housing market, what are these people supposed to do? I mean, the last time I checked, the rates, the pay rates have not gone up. Let's take a look at what my friends have to say. Hey, Ted, welcome. This is Rob Pizzella. I'm the CEO and president of Western Capital International. Today, we're discussing the market right now. It's about 1 something in New York. And welcome to the stage, right there, Ted.
It's a pleasure to meet you, Robert.
Hey, thank you.
I'm curious about the all-time ratio between silver and gold, and it seems like silver's at an extremely low price right now, and I was wondering what would bring it up to where it's supposed to be, and that's my question right now.
All right, let me just do a search. Let me get you guys a spot price on silver right now, and the silver spot is 21.26, and we're still buying at that. So right now, as of today, it's down $1.34. But if you look at the historicals, even back to May 9th, you're looking at 23, right? So yeah. There's we're dealing in this market right now, Ted, where I think that there's people who are holding a lot of assets where they log into their Fidelity account and they're like, wow, you know, I got $2 million, and all of a sudden they logged in today and they found out they had $1.2 million, you know, so where's the 800,000? Well, it's in the atmosphere. It is vaporized.
Yeah.
I don't really think that there's going to be any problem with long-term hold on gold or silver. I've always been positive on crypto, but you know, crypto is a weird thing. You got a lot of kids involved in that right now. You know, I think, Ted, that you know, at the end of the day, I think your silver is going to be absolutely incredibly worth a lot of money.
Yeah.
So that's why we're continuing to buy. Do you own silver, Ted?
I don't have any. I'm a poor man. I'm a street preacher. So I want to surround myself with people that, you know of a good direction. And I would hold off on crypto myself. I would hold on to solid assets.
And you know what, that's a great point, because, you know, a lot of the analysts are saying, if you can't hold it, you don't own it. You know, for my advice to you, number one, just follow me on all my platforms. I only go live whenever I have something that's truly valuable to present. We're not just sitting here talking about, you know, the world, you know. But what we talk about is very educational, and it's financially beneficial, because we're getting everything from the major markets, and we're just, you know, bringing it back to this platform. So I appreciate you, my friend. Is there anything you wanted to talk about while you're here, or anything you wanted to discuss besides silver?
No, this was a perfect time. Thank you.
Okay. You bet, my friend. No problem. Have a great day, Ted.
All right. God bless.
You bet. Guys, as I said, and when Ted was in the room, if you can't hold it, you don't own it, I guess. Let's think about what that means, my friends. What that means is you've got gold, you've got silver, okay? You've also got real estate. Now, real estate is something I'd love to talk to you guys about. It's a crazy game right now, and I made some predictions yesterday on NBC, and I have to be really careful about what I say, because, man, things are all over the map right now. But you know what? I think I'd rather have real estate than sitting on something, you know, these like hedging the market right now. This market's so messed up, man. It is so messed up with the way it's been manipulated by the Fed. So let's take a look. We got Jason here. Jason, come on up, buddy. Yeah. And the markets are unpredictable right now. Hey, Jason, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, TGITD. Thank God it's the second. How's it going?
Oh, you know it, man. You know it. How you been? I've been watching. your shows.
I'm good. I retired. I just retired. Listen, I studied economics. Okay, management economics at the University of Toronto.
Okay.
Graduated with distinction 2001. Mm-hmm. When I was working at Microsoft 88 and 89, and I understood the history, how Richard Nixon took us off the gold standard, well, the U.S. off the gold standard, right? I decided not to put my faith in the market or in even the U.S. dollar. You understand that the U.S. dollar is way, way, way over, you know, we're not even going to answer. You probably understand this, right?
Well, so I think you understand, you know, when it took us to a fiat currency, and I don't want to get into all that because of the long.
We won't get into it. So let's talk about right now.
With our listeners, because it's just kind of very high end stuff. But the bottom line, my friends, is this: the dollar used to be, and for those of you that don't know, the dollar used to be backed by gold. So if you had a $100 bill, you had $100 of the gold backing it. Now that we're off the gold standard, you don't have that. And I think that's exactly what Jason's talking about. So that's just a general, real small point of authority as to what he's trying to say. Go ahead, Jason.
I'm more along Warren Buffett's line of thinking. Like, if you don't know a lot about the directors of the company and understand the financials of the company, you're just gambling, okay? So I'm opposed to gambling. I'm a Christian, right? I don't believe in gambling. Okay, so I believe I could invest. Look, I worked at Microsoft. I have no problem with wealth, okay? What I have a problem with is gambling, okay? So that's why I'm not invested in crypto. I'm not going to invest in anything I don't understand. That's my principle.
All right, well, let's think about what you just said. Warren Buffett did make that statement that if you don't know who the directors are, you are just basically gambling. And he made it at his annual Berkshire Hathaway meeting. With him and his associate. And there's a lot of truth to that if you think about that, guys, because these companies, it used to be, remember guys back in the day when you had a 30-year watch at a company? I mean, that's the kind of stuff that's over. And it used to be that the stock market, you know, was just one of those things that just continued to move and nobody watched it. Now, watching crypto and watching the returns on that and watching everything else, I mean, it's just up and down all over the place. What do you think, Jay?
You're right. And the thing is, right now, you can see how things went before and there were ups and downs. Now there's variables that we didn't have before. The social media, internet. OK, so that's something that is a variable. And the global economy, it's a little bit different now because now you can create a currency out of nothing so easily. Now, anything can be a currency. This is what people don't understand. I decided that domains are going to be my currency. But this is what I think people should do. Okay. They should invest in themselves first and then their own shares of their own company. This is why. This is what Bill Gates did.
Okay, now you know I'm going to hold you to this because if you're going to do this, you have to be very succinct and clear as to explain to our listeners, you know, because this is syndicated around the world. You need to listen to tell our listeners exactly how they're going to invest in themselves. Because they're at their 9-to-5, they're trying to figure out where they want to go, and all they see is all this drama, and some guy named Elon Musk is up, you know, picking up Twitter. So we have to give them a direct line-by-line play on how to do it.
Go ahead. I'll give you my 7 steps, but this is not an advice. This is not financial advice.
I'm absolutely
not an advisor. Give that disclaimer, okay? Just like right? This is not something because of whatever. Like, obviously, I do what I believe is right. I started my own company, right? Okay. And I started multiple companies because that's what I believe in. That's what I saw. I trained at Microsoft. Okay.
So you're a tech guy, right?
I'm a life strategist. I'm an ordained minister. Okay. So I'm a life. Okay.
So a scholarship coach.
Okay. Gotcha. Coach. Okay. But I do websites. I have domains. I started my first web design company with a partner, right? Okay. In grade 12, I think. Right. We just teamed up. We just did web design. Right. So the thing is, I started investing in domains though after I left Microsoft. I finished my co-op term in 1999. I was a co-op at Microsoft Canada. Okay, so this is how it is. But this is what I'll just say, the universal seven steps that I've developed. So basically, you begin with the end in mind, one of the seven habits of highly effective people, right? Mm-hmm. So just whatever you want to do. Even if you want to go to Mars or whatever, it's like, okay, well, what do I have to do? I have to learn about how to build spaceships, right? So you figure out how you want your resume to look when you're 120. So you don't have limited thinking, right? I called it a target resume. So I wrote my target resume in university, studying management economics in 1999. Okay, the idea blew my mind, right? Literally, right? But I said, okay, but at the end of my life, I don't want to have any expenses, right? And then I said, look, I want to be free. Okay, so you have to start out with what your goal is, right? And then you have one sheet of paper, you put it up into four quartiles, blank paper. You say, on the left, you put the things you love to do. On the right, you put the things you don't love to do. On the bottom right, left, you put the stuff you're really good at. And the bottom right, you put the stuff you're not good at. Okay, that's how you decide what you actually want to do. And then you decide after you look at it. Now, chances are, like I like to, for me, the right side, the stuff that I like to do, I'll put on the right side because it's the right stuff, right? I really love to preach. I love to teach. I love to read. I love to learn. I love to actually listen to books. So I listen to like 100 books after I had to sell my house in 2010 and pay off the debts for Toronto Poets, a nonprofit, okay? Because I made it a nonprofit. I had a nonprofit mindset. I was scared of having money, right? Because I see money does some things, but I think it just amplifies whatever kind of person you are. If you're really not diligent, that's why when people win the lottery, after 2 years, they're broke. Because they don't know how to grow money, right? Bill Gates said that he wasn't going to just give all of his money to his kids because that amount of money, you could buy planes and just go crazy and, you know, attack countries and stuff like that. It's not healthy. If you learn how to grow money slowly, like Dave Ramsey says, like, then fine. And I'm not saying that you can't have real estate unless you buy it cash, okay? Because I dated somebody that wanted to buy your house cash and I didn't have time for that. It took me until 45 to retire.
Right.
But if that was when we were like in our 30s, and I believe in buying a house with a mortgage, right? And I believe in sometimes borrowing for education. There is good debt, but buying stock just because it's going up is not good debt. Buying a thing on margin just because it's going up and you don't even know what it is. So somebody create a currency out of nothing, and then just one person can make one decision and make the thing flop. That is not good.
That's a great point because we talked about that one person that you mentioned. You know, one person has the ability to do that, and that's why I think Warren Buffett said, "If you don't know who's on the board, you're kind of you're going blind." And that's true. I mean, in many many ways. So I agree with you on that.
That's not you. Then you don't have any control. The thing is, people are happy when they have freedom and control. Right. So you don't have any control when you're just gambling. That's why it's not good to gamble. Look, I've gone to casinos. I remember we went on trips. I was flown to Vancouver, Edmonton, Calgary, Ottawa, Halifax when I was a co-op. I was just like it was 1998. So I was like 21. Right. So I was flying with the people at Microsoft. It was one of the richest companies at the time. One of the richest software companies. And we could go out to the casino, I just go and watch, but I walk out. I wouldn't even gamble. I don't even play the lottery with $1. We have loonies. I don't gamble. Principle is a principle. With the principle, you'll be invincible. So here's what I say. Target resume, you begin with the end in mind, right? So you put on, okay, if you want to be president of three companies, you put it on. If you want to be president of one company, you put it on. Now, you won't know the name and the details at first, but you think, okay, 120, what's the vision? And then you work your way back. Bill Gates has a quote. Right, I used to work for him, his company, right? No, I wasn't his assistant, okay? But I was a co-op, I was a marketing associate, right?
And sure.
But we're in charge of one of the websites. But this is the point, right? Most of us overestimate what we can do in 1 year and underestimate what we can do in 10 years. A lot of times it'll take you longer than you think. So if you only do in the year plan, right? Then if something happens, a pandemic, then all of a sudden, throws off your whole year plan. But if you plan 10 years, there could be three pandemics, and you have time to recover. And Bill Gates warned us, and again, right? And I'm not worshiping him or saying anything bad about him, right? He's just a person, okay? People have their flaws, and nobody's perfect except I believe Jesus, but we won't get into religion. So right. This is the point, right? So the thing is, he's telling us what we have to do to stop from the last pandemic. I don't think he caused it. People just don't understand things. It's important to read books. right? Like, thinking we're rich, rich dad, poor dad, law of success. Listen, the problem is people want to be rich more than they want to be successful. Napoleon Hill wrote two great books that I've read.
Okay, let me stop you there, Jason. Okay. You said people want to be rich versus successful. So you understand there's a difference between being rich and successful. Big difference.
Harriet Tubman was successful at freeing slaves and came to Canada, right?
Okay, so no. Let's explain the difference, so everybody understands the difference between the two, because it's very, very, it's huge.
Okay, I could be successful at doing things for free, but that doesn't mean I'm rich, right? Yeah. You could be rich, right? But it doesn't mean you're successful. What if you're rich and what you do, like maybe Hitler was rich, I don't care.
Right.
Example?
Yes.
Okay, so you could have the most land, but if you are killing people, who cares?
Right, and that's a great point. So we have to also realize, and as I teach coaches and mentors, that every individual that we deal with is going to have a different idea of what success is. Okay, so no matter what your definition of success might be having a certain dollar amount. It might be something financially that you're looking for. It might be having two jets instead of one. It gets crazy as you do your clients, right?
Sure. Mine is having no expenses, but everybody's got a different thing. But the thing is, you have to say, okay, what's it for you? But it's the success, the progressive realization of a predetermined goal. So if somebody's goal is to be a trillionaire, fine. You might take a long time to be successful. But you know what? I'm not saying anything's wrong with that if your goal is to be a trillionaire. But now we got kids, because of the society, their culture, and the culture thinks money makes the world go round. We've got kids. Somebody was saying, you know, and he knows, I think he grew up with Les Brown. He said that there was a kid on Clubhouse, and he said he wants to be a trillionaire. And he said, right, he was like, I don't know, like 19. And he said, do you know how many zeros? Actually, I think he was younger. He said, do you know how many zeros are in that? He said, 29.
Right.
Look,
right.
Why would you want to be have a net worth higher than Apple? Just one right. person. Right, I wouldn't want that pressure. Look, no. And then you walk down the street.
No, you know, and Jason, you've got that down to a science, because there's a lot of people right now that'll throw out things like that. Rob, I want to be a credit millionaire. I want to be a trillionaire. I mean, come on, guys, let's be absolutely real. You have to have, like you said, you have to have a goal and then retroactively go back and achieve the goal based on what you want. So figure out what you want with your desires first, and then once you do that, then it's your own world.
Why?
You know, it's so simple.
That's the next book. Why do you want to be a trillionaire?
Yeah.
Do you think that's better? Do you think you're going to have peace when you walk down the street, when you have to have an army defending you? So yeah.
I'll say this, Jason, of what you said just recently. I think that what you said about having no debt is absolutely a powerful, powerful position to be in. Okay. I think you're absolutely in a very powerful position when you don't have a lot of debt, or when you can simply sit in your house, do what you do, and not have to worry about paying the bills. That's a powerful position, I think. And I think that a lot of people at this point would just love to have that.
And it's Mental Health Awareness Month. Listen, there's a reason why Biggie said more money, more problems. Now, I'm not saying money automatically. Money expands whatever your problems are. So look, if you're unfaithful, then you're really unfaithful with billions of dollars.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And for anybody to just spout out, I want to be a billionaire or a trillionaire, that makes no sense. I mean, you have to have some basis for that. I mean, Gates himself, and I mean, look at Musk. All they're not even there yet. So for a kid 19 years old, I mean, it scares the hell out of me, Jason, what's going on with these kids. And as far as what their belief is, and they're gonna become TikTok millionaires, for instance, you know,
and they all want to go viral,
and they believe it.
Yeah, I said, look, if you like dancing, right, and they're googling how to go viral. Look, I was doing before Google, Yahoo. I was doing research back when I was a co-op in 1998, right? But I never researched how to stop working after 1 minute, have 7 streams of revenue. If you like what you're doing, why do you want to stop working after 1 minute and have the thing go viral and then you have 7 streams of revenue? If you love what you're doing, then you can do it for the rest of your life. That's why I said, you'll start your dream, begin with the end in mind, figure out what your purpose is, and then start your own company. That's what That's what these people did. That's what Zuckerberg did. That's what Bill Gates did. That's what Steve Jobs did, right? And then I think he had to go in and he came back because it was him. It's you. That's my message. It's whatever that person's gift is.
You got it. And that's
if you invest in yourself, it doesn't matter if the stock market goes. I'm trying to stop people from throwing themselves off a building.
Yes. Like the depression. Wow. We talked about that. Yeah.
That's happening. And that's why relationships are dying. Have a nice day. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Jason. Thank you. Guys, what a great speaker. What a great understanding of where we're truly at. His comment is, I'm trying to keep people from jumping off buildings. That's real at this point. Listen to the market update. Right now, it's Friday, May 13th, 2020. This is being syndicated for replay around the world. It's now 10:40 in Los Angeles, which would be 1:40 in New York. Let's take a look at the Nikkei. The Nikkei is up $678. Shanghai is up $29, up 0.96%. The S&P 500 is up 0.9, up $92. That's 2.36%. The Russell 2000 is $58 up. The dollar spot index is down to $1.4449. We're going to get a current rate here on gold. European to dollar is obviously 104. That's kind of hanging in there. Okay, there's my gold again. So right now my gold is sitting on 1809.55. We're down 12.27. Don't let that worry you guys because there's things that you need to that are sure things. The gold and silver, I think, are two sure bets. As far as I don't know what. Let me take a look what we're at. Alexa, what is Bitcoin at right now?
$1 Bitcoin is worth $30,200.
All right, 30.4%. Okay, so we're at $30,200. So we're above the 30,000 threshold. As I said, that some analysts have already called $28,000 time. I have a great friend who's waiting in line. It's Mojo. Mojo, it's so good to see you, my friend. I sent you a message this morning on LinkedIn. Guys, if you're not following me, follow me on all the different platforms because that's we will talk to you. We work with you. And as I told you guys before, we do not just come up here and talk. We bring value to everything. Good morning, Mojo. How are you, my friend?
Robert, it's so good to talk to you, my buddy.
Oh, it's been crazy. It has been crazy. I trying to deal with the markets the way they are and dealing with what I do normally. You know, I was on an NBC show yesterday, and it's been crazy. It's been nuts. How have you been, my friend?
Well, as I like to say, if I was any better, man, I'd get arrested.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you.
Well, here's something really funny, Robert. Right? So you're giving all the market numbers and all the status of the different things. And do you know what I hear?
Uh-huh.
And do you know why I don't worry about any of that?
Why?
Because I don't have any money in the market.
Do you have a 401k?
I have a 403b, which is basically the same thing for a nonprofit.
Okay. Yeah, so what happens is what kind of calls I get all the time. Rob,
yeah.
I have a lot of money at Fidelity, and all of a sudden I just keep refreshing, and all of a sudden I've lost $800,000 over the past 2 weeks. What do I do?
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's not really understanding the market, but that's realizing where their money's at and what's
sure.
happened to it.
Yeah, you know, that's where their pain point is, right? That's their pain point.
And that is a pain point. That is a pain point. Yeah. And I don't have an answer for that. So as I'm discussing some of these specifics, I'm doing it because I want to make sure that everybody understands that your portfolio or whatever you have is based on, you know, what your holdings are. If you actually hold stock, if you actually hold certain stocks, if you actually hold stuff on the S&P 500, if you are building wealth, then you'll be able to tell at any moment. And I tell this to people all the time. If you're building wealth and you can't get within 10 minutes exactly where you're at financially, then you need to find somebody else to take care of your money. So,
absolutely.
You know, that's important in my opinion. Go ahead, Majo.
I agree 100%. And let me clarify what I meant by what I just said. And it's that, so this was not in any way, I wasn't trying to take a position saying that this is the right thing to do or that I'm bragging or that, you know, this is what anybody else should do. The reason I don't have any money is in the stock market is because I don't have any money. But I'm saying to myself, and I'm saying to you, Robert, my friend, that I should not be 56 years old and say publicly, I don't worry about the market because I don't have any money invested, because that's not good stewardship. And I've been entrusted with resource.
Ooh, I love this one. He's on pause, guys. What he said is he's entrusted with the stewardship. Okay, we lost you there for a second.
Yeah, yeah.
But come back. I know where you're going with this. This is very important. Go ahead, sir.
So my phone rang. But what I'm trying to say is each of us, regardless of the bottom line in our bank account, are entrusted with a certain amount of resources. It's energy. It's intelligence. It's empathy. It's compassion. It's also money. Money is a resource. It's a tool. It's not the end, but it's a great means to the end if you want to serve yourself or you want to serve somebody else. And so what I'm saying to you, Robert, as a person who understands all that stuff that you just said and has immersed yourself in it and become really a master of numbers and products and all that kind of stuff, is you are challenging me in a really good way to say, okay, Joe, don't wear it as a badge of honor that you haven't saved any money. You don't have a 401k. You're not in the market. Don't paint it like this happy, happy picture that you don't have to worry about money. Because the truth is, every month I do worry about paying the mortgage and providing for my family. And I want to give to people whose organizations I agree with.
Joe, let me ask you a question. Yep, sure. Is there anything wrong with that? And I don't think you can say yes. Is there anything wrong with having that worry about, you know, hey, I got to take care of my family. It's not just me living on a beach, kicking it up with going to the bars every night. Do you get what I'm saying?
Absolutely not. No. So again, this goes back to my stewardship point, is that we all are entrusted with so many things, including money. And whether we have a lot of money or a little, we have a lot of energy or a little, we have a lot of compassion or a little, or we have a big family or a small one, we all have the responsibility of how are we going to choose to invest and or spend our resources. Are we going to be givers? Are we going to be takers? Are we going to be investors in the best sense of investing? Or are we going to be hoarders, right? And so it doesn't matter to me whether we're talking about dollars or not. That's really important. And I'm not downplaying that at all, but I'm saying.
But what you also said is you mentioned the word energy and energy exchange.
Yes,
I mean,
exactly.
your value. We might be talking to somebody right now that's on the other side of the world that's listening to this and thinking they're thinking of ending everything because they believe that you know they have a stack of money and they just realize they just heard from you. Wait a second. Stop, drop, and roll, right?
Yep,
and that's,
exactly.
That's power, because you have the ability to communicate. Communication is power, and it's actually a strong currency, which is probably worth more than money, in my opinion. Absolutely.
And as you and I both know, Robert, comparison is the thief of joy. That was Franklin Delano Roosevelt's quote, but it's so true. Because if I compare whatever resources I have, including money, to what you have or anybody else has, one of two outcomes happens. Either I get proud because I have more, or I feel worthless because I have less. That's a lose-lose proposition. The only person I need to compare myself to, or I must compare myself to, is me. Am I growing from where I was yesterday, intellectually, emotionally, spiritually, financially? Am I shoring up those things? Am I investing? Am I giving? Doing all the things that represent who I am?
So, Joe, what you're saying is you're putting one step ahead of the other, and as long as you're moving forward, and whatever that means in your world or in your nexus, that's magical and that's success. You see, so many people, Joe, don't understand that. Isn't that weird? They just don't get what you're saying, and that's so powerful because that's the nexus of what we teach, bud. You know,
and here's the confusion, I think, and it's been my confusion along the way. Like, I got this wrong much of my life, is that two things. One, we think that progress is a linear progression. It's like you start in the lower left quadrant and you go to the upper right quadrant and it's a nice straight line. Life doesn't work that way. Life is messy and it's up and down and upside down and all those other things. So the analogy that I've heard, and I can't remember if I share this with you or not, growth to me, progress is, imagine a bicycle tire. And you pick one spot on the tire, put a little white dot there, and that's you.
Okay.
And as the bicycle tire goes forward, at first you're going forward, and then you're going down, and it feels like you're going to crash into the ground, and you go through the dirt and the rocks, and you're bouncing around. And then you feel like you're going backwards, right? Because the tire, you get to the other side, you're going backwards, and you're going up again. But guess what? You're still making progress.
Yes.
The tire's moving forward, and you've gone every possible direction, forward, down, dirty, up. And all of that still turns out your progress, because with one rotation of the tire, you're further along the path. So really the question isn't, am I going in a straight line up on a linear progression, but am I making the next right step, as you said, towards my preferred destination? Am I being consciously aware of that and being a good steward of all of the resources that I've been entrusted, whether it's a lot or a little, and am I making more of what I've got, or am I hoarding it instead of investing it? Am I keeping it for me instead of giving it away?
You know, that's fantastic. And I think that your point is well, well made, because, you know, we do have to look at ourselves as stewards. We have to look at ourselves as stewards of information. We have to look at ourselves as stewards if we've been gifted to be able to communicate in a certain way, or if we can go to a seminar for 10,000 people. That's probably a gift, you know, and you can use that for good or you can use it for bad.
That's exactly right.
You have to do things, in a win-win way. So if your whole goal in life, guys, and I'll tell you this right now, and I'm sure Joe will agree, if your whole goal is to go have a certain dollar amount in your checking account, just simply hang out with us and we'll show you how to do it. It's not that big of a deal. It's very simple. Okay. However, if you're truly wanting to give back, you want to be able to create something. You want us to be able to push you to the top. You can obviously listen to Joe. He does this for a living. He communicates with people. He talks to people. He's not new at the communication game, okay? Right. And that is the magic of what we do. And why do we come on Clubhouse? Because we come to – or not Clubhouse. I don't go – I try to stay away from that. It gets kind of tanked. But why do we come on Wisdom? Why do we come here? Because we're here to assist and help our friends grow. And this is the only vetted community that I know of where I have actual real friends on and offline. By the way, Joe, I sent you a message today on on LinkedIn. So if you can get to that, but tell me something. Give me some advice that you would give to somebody who's really having a tough time now. They're just coming out of COVID. Maybe they lost their job. Maybe they just have a new job, or maybe they're one of these kids that have a $300,000 job at Microsoft and they quit. I mean, what's going on with that, my friend?
Okay, so it's a beautiful question, and I don't take it as a coincidence or serendipity. This is synchronicity, because I just posted this on my Instagram a couple days ago. This thought popped into my head, and I created a meme for it, and it's this, Robert, and I think you'll dig this. I'd love to get your take on it. It's that a dead end – no, what is it? Okay. I'm going to make sure I get this right, because if I say it wrong, it's going to lose its impact. Let me look it up.
That's okay.
Well, I lost my own meme. Here we go. We're going to find it. I'm sure there's people out there listening going, Joe, I know what it was. I saw it.
Yeah. Or what's funny, you know, Joe, people ask me all the time, like, where is this on your website? I have to Google like 90% of the stuff of my life to even find out what it is. I don't even know,
Yeah. I like, okay. Yeah. So here's what I put. I'm so glad I waited. Okay. So this is what came to me, Robert, and I made a graphic for failure. Yep. Failure is not a dead end. It's just a necessary detour. And I put a big road closed sign and a detour mark. And here's the thought that was going through my head was, oftentimes we interpret failure as, that's it, I'm done, I'm toast, life is over, I don't amount to anything. It suddenly becomes about my worth and about my value and about my capabilities. When oftentimes, in hindsight, you and I could look back and say, when I failed, that's when I learned the most, because I had to course correct. I was forced out of my comfort zone, and I realized that it wasn't a dead end. It was a detour, and I can still get to my preferred destination, but I'm just going to take a different path than I thought I was. And actually, that path's going to be more rewarding. I'm going to grow more. I'm going to touch more people. It's actually going to be the path I would have chosen had I known it was there, but I didn't know until I hit the failure, which wasn't a dead end. Again, it was a detour, and the detour turned out to be beautiful.
Do me a favor and say that exactly. Say that one more time, exactly your statement.
Okay. I don't know if I can, but I'll give it a try. So it's so easy, and the tendency, I think, is human nature to interpret failure as a dead end.
Yes.
And we interpret that as I'm worthless, I can't do it, I should quit, I'm in the wrong whatever, when quite honestly, it may just be a sign that you need to go a different direction to get where you want to go. And you can interpret this in almost every arena of life. And it's not a matter of changing your circumstances. It's a matter of changing your perspective. And if your perspective is, when I hit failure, I'm going to take that as a sign that I was just going the wrong direction. And maybe my destination is still the same, but I'm taking a different path to get there. And actually embrace the concept, the possibility that the detour will be far more rewarding and enriching and turn out to be the path that you wish you'd been on all along. You just didn't even know it.
That, my friends, is power. Because there's a lot of you in this room, and I know it just because of my gut, that are here because you believe in what we say, but you're here because you have questions about, am I doing the right thing? How do I live up to the expectations of other people? How do I compare to somebody else? By the way, expectations and comparisons are two things that destroy and kill relationships. Let's keep that in mind.
That's right.
So let's understand that as Joe said, whenever you get to a point where you feel like you failed, you're not failing at anything. You're not stopped. Okay, now some of you might say, well, geez, I failed because, you know, I don't have, and it, failure is different to everybody, right? I mean, it can be right. Variable, but can be like, I don't have seats for this year's Raiders game, and that's if I'm a failure. So, okay, that's right. Some people have that. But then there's some people, guys, who literally have no place to live. They have no food. They're stressing, and they're really, 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 really hating it right now. And we try to help those people. But you know what? Keep in mind, what he said is so, so powerful.
So listen to this, Robert. In 1990, I was touring the world playing trumpet with the gospel group, and I got to play for Mother Teresa in Calcutta at her home convent. She has zero worldly possessions. She's got a vow of poverty, and she is impacting the world in profound ways. 2 weeks later, I'm in Rome at the Vatican playing trumpet for Pope John Paul II. He's in a palace. He's surrounded by wealth beyond measure. Everything is beautiful and pristine. And you know what? He's making an impact in the world. And it had nothing to do with what they owned or what they were surrounded with or their environment. In the slums of Calcutta and in the palatial beauty of the Vatican, here's two people who realize their purpose has nothing to do with their possessions. Their purpose has nothing to do with their possessions. Man, if I can just embrace that, life can be so much better and I can impact the world because I can give from a place of wealth that has nothing to do with money.
Wow. As always, Mojo, you are the man. Thank you so much and God bless you. Guys, if you're not following Mojo, please do so. If I tell you to follow somebody, just understand that they bring value to me. They bring value to the world. We were going to cut it because we were bringing you the 1 o'clock update out of New York. We're going to cut it in 3 minutes. However, this is a really important topic today. So what I'm going to do is, as you guys know, we are sponsored by Mercedes-Benz. We're going to play something for you real quickly just for our sponsors, and then I'll come right back. Stand by 1 second. Give us, 48 seconds.
You're now listening to the world famous Change Your Mind, Change Your Mind, Change Your Life, Change Your Life podcast. Broadcasting worldwide with your host, Robert Paisola. Ladies and gentlemen, give way for Robert Paisola. Broadcasting on 107.1 on the Man Cave Podcasting Network and beaming worldwide on the Spectavision Satellite Radio Network live from Las Vegas. Today's episode is brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, featuring sleek, pure elegance. Visit your local Mercedes-Benz dealer today and take advantage of exceptional deals for 2022. Bringing you the top news and guests from around the globe on finance, credit, life, or just how to fix that dent in your pocketbook from COVID-19. It's Robert Paisola.
All right, guys, and we are live now, and it is Friday, May 13th. 2022. It's 10:58 a.m., so it's going to be a real close to that 2 o'clock mark in Los Angeles or in New York. We're watching the gold price. It's 1808 right now, and we're watching the market. The market's pretty stable right now. However, you guys know that we try to give you everything we can, basically to change your life, to be able to let you know that, you know what, there is not a certain place where you have to be by a certain time, and there is no such thing as failure. I mean, all you have to do is get up and do it again. And what a great comment that Joe made when he mentioned that, you know, just because you hit the wall or because you feel like you're done, boy, that's the starting point. That's where the mat sets where it gets magical.
And for some reason, you guys have ended up in this room and you're able to talk to some of the greatest people in the world regarding maybe some of your issues. So I have my absolute amazing friend, Dr. Rao, on hold. But I also have Richard. Richard, I'm going to bring you up because you have been waiting, and then I'll bring Dr. Rao up, okay? Guys, this is Richard Nichols, and I believe Richard's in radio, so we have a lot to talk about, Richard. Richard, welcome to the show. Stand by 1 second. Well, hello, Richard. Well,
I'm all the way from South Africa, so okay. That's a different story. Okay. And I'm no financial analyst or anything like that.
Okay.
What I wanted to ask you one simple question is why Africa as a continent is always the one that gets hit on the head financially when world stock markets and markets go. Like, for example, now there's the thing in Ukraine. South Africa now, our currency against the euro, the American dollar, and the pound has gone. We just suddenly, all of a sudden, lose value. Why does that happen? Is that because investors are looking to see what South Africa's reaction will be to what's going on in Ukraine?
Richard, one thing I promise my listeners and viewers around the world is that if I don't understand something or I don't know the answer, I'm not just going to pretend that I know. I will tell you that I believe, this is my current belief, is that it's an off-scale market. In other words, it's a market that we're not familiar with. So when you, I have a deal right now going on in the Amazon, if you will, and it's a real estate deal, but I still have a hard time wrapping myself around a deal that's 8,000 miles away, okay? I don't know why, I just do. But you know what? Financially, it meets all the metrics. Financially, everything's working. But I understand what you're talking about, where you're kind of left, you know, on the sidelines a lot of times. And you know what? That does happen. Right now, the whole world is looking at Europe. They're looking at the United States. They're looking at the entire totality of the war and the who's with who and everything. So you know, maybe they're not looking down there at this point right now. I'm not saying they won't, because you guys have a financial system with, just like we do. It's just a matter of getting the right people to look at it. And right now, my friend, is just so difficult in all areas of finance. Let's talk about that, Richard. You have to realize the United States right now, the entire stock market is being propped up by the Federal Reserve. Okay, the market supply, the dollar supply is all being propped up. Those are things that are happening in the United States, and that's causing exponential change throughout the world. Okay, these aren't just, you know, small things. These are really, really, really big things. So we have to be very, very, very careful. And as we watch all this stuff, there's a lot of stuff that, you know, you'll hear from me and you'll see on our show that, you know, is never discussed on your normal television station. And your question is probably one of those questions that won't be discussed on Bloomberg today. I will just simply say that I think that for the person that has the money, that is the investor, whether it's the corporation with the fund or the individual, it's a little far off for them to have a full understanding, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's just because, okay, I suppose South Africa has a lot of things that people don't understand. First of all, we have a very big difference between the have and have-nots. The whites in this country still have the bigger share of the economy. The blacks, even though they're in the majority, they still battle. And I suppose probably I can answer this question myself. Investors from overseas look at South Africa. They also look at all that has come with the ANC, with the monies go missing here, left, right, and center, because people spend, I mean, they're not shy. They'll take public funds and they'll have a party.
Well, Richard, I think you're answering your question, my friend. I think you're answering the question right there. I mean, I didn't want to go there, but you did. So we'll just go, we'll plow right through that topic. There's a lot of stuff that goes on over there that is not transparent. And when you don't have a transparent economy and you have money that people are trying to put into it, people are going to have a question.
Okay. And what you just said is very, very true. And until they raise their transparency, even with their own people, they're going to have a tough time convincing the world market leaders to be able to jump in. So you said it. I'm just simply being blunt about it. You know,
we also have another problem too, and that is a shortage during the apartheid. South Africa could have had enough power to power the whole of Africa. Now, all of a sudden, we don't have power. I can be sitting here talking to you now, and my house will just go into darkness. Mm. Because Eskom have decided to implement load shedding because they need to save so many 10 megawatts of power. So certain areas of the country will go off. So, and I suppose that also probably is, investors say, what happens if I come to South Africa and I put a factory in place? Am I going to be able to produce a profit at the end of the day because now they're without electricity? Then what must I do? Must I purchase, as our firm does, I work for a local law firm, the building has a generator.
Right.
So you're busy working on your computer and everything goes off and then everything we're on the generator.
Right. And
sometimes you don't even know where it is.
There again. Are you an attorney by chance, Richard? Are you an attorney?
No. I'm an admin clerk. Okay. I administrate those horrible things called photocopiers and printers.
Okay. Well, you know, I think that what you said now is you're saying that this is a great concept. How are you ever going to convince a company to come and create value for your area if you can't even promise that they're going to have power on? If I have a company there and I put $100 million into a plant and I'm hiring your people, and you're going to have a power outage on me, that's going to cost me so much per hour, not to mention productivity dollars. So that, along with the fact that you're in South Africa, I mean, all those things add up, so I think, to answer your question, my friend.
Yeah, I suppose I'm answering the question myself because I know the problems that South Africa has. I also heard you talking about people being notified in America about being evicted from their properties.
That is correct.
And that is big business here. Attorneys in this country make it their business to do that for the banks.
All right, let me
tell you. Basically, they put a whole department in place to do that.
Right. Let me tell you what's going on here in the United States, and then I'll cut down to Dr. Rado, if you don't mind, okay? When we're talking about real estate portfolios, my friends, the American real estate market is being bought up and snatched, if you will, by corporate America, by BlackRock, by Innovis, by your Vanguard funds, by all these funds. We represent a very, very large portfolio that's buying out of the following places, following cities. Number one, Tampa, Florida. Number two, Houston, Texas. Dallas, Texas. Indianapolis, Indiana. Columbus, Ohio. And Detroit, Michigan. Those are the cities that we're buying in right now. When I say we're buying, we have billions of dollars of other people's money to do just that. So if you have property and it's single family homes, we're buying them primarily to be able to just have them be used as rentals. So we're not looking for, you know, build and hold and sell. We're not doing that. It's immediate expansion. And if you want to contact us, you can reach us at just Robert@WCIBank.com. WCIBank.com. And we'll be glad to take a look at those and help you and show you exactly what's going on. But what you're also talking about, Richard, is this. People who are living in apartment complexes that have lived there for 12, 15 years are now getting eviction notices. People that don't have rent control are being told, I'm sorry, you must now leave. And yeah. People don't have the financial ability to, number one, even get their stuff ready to be able to move within 10 days. And they, second of all, don't have the ability to put your first, last, and deposit. We own properties all over the place. And, I mean, we just did one last night out of Utah. I have properties in Utah. And the, for that person to move into that property cost them about $10,000. And the person behind them, which came up this morning, was somebody who wanted to pay cash for an entire year at $4,000 a month. So you got to realize how hard this market is right now. It's very, very difficult. Go ahead, Richard.
Yeah, what I was just saying that we have in our legal industry, a whole, we even have call centers, which chase people who are not, more specifically businesses, which have got loans with banks and stuff, who now are falling foul of the person. It's just... It's a business, basically.
Okay, Richard, what I want you to do is write my name down, Robert Pizzola, and then I want you to type in the word SoundCloud, SoundCloud. We represent those people that are being destroyed by those banks. So when people are getting phone calls, there are people right now, Richard, who won't go get their mail. There are people that are terrified to go outside. There are people that don't know when that phone rings if it's going to be the call for them to get out of their house. They're under tremendous pressure right now. Mental health is huge. And I come from a debt collection background, which is, you know, if you read my profile and, you know, go to robertpizzola.com, you'll be able to see. And there's been hundreds of articles written about what we've done. But you know what? When it comes down to it, I'm very clear about who we represent, right? At this time, we represent a portfolio. I mean, with billions of dollars. We have to, because it's a one-time deal for us. It's not something that comes along all the time. We're not buying one property at a time. We're buying 200, 300, 400 at a time. You know, and so that's real. Whoa. So keep that in mind, my friend, that each company, everybody you deal with, everybody has their own specific challenges. And boy, it's been good talking to you today, my friend. And I really appreciate it, Richard.
Thank you very much for your time. And it's interesting to hear a different perspective.
Please follow me. And I guarantee you, you always get value out of everything you hear us say. Nothing is ever said that is not transcribed. Nothing's ever said that's not recorded.
I heard you mention earlier on when you introduced me, I used to do community radio. And as a result of that, I have two podcasts which come out of, I'm in Maritzburg in KwaZulu-Natal, but my hosting company is in Cape Town. And I write a story called The Park, an African Story, and Short Stories and Poems, which is on Spotify.
All right.
So, and that content came from my time as a producer on a community radio station.
Excellent. So now our team knows how to get a hold of you. Those that want to get a hold of Richard, feel free to. And Richard, welcome to the platform. You'll notice that this is an absolutely amazing team. God bless you, my friend.
Thank you.
So right now we're, let's see, 11 to 12, 12 to 1. It's 2:12 p.m. In New York right now, and it looks like everything is hanging in there. Let's take a look at the S&P 500. We're now up 88 points, so it's still about the same. The Russell Index, the Russell 2000, is still up 57. So, guys, these are things you really can't describe or discuss or figure out why, other than the fact that the market is doing what it's doing. Up 1,000 points one day, down 1,000 points the next day, up 1,000 points. I mean, that's not exactly right, but you get the idea. All right, I'm going to bring up my excellent friend. Hey, Jason, give me a second, and I'm bringing up my dear friend, Dr. Rao, who always has amazing, amazing data to bring to our team. Dr. Rao is somebody who I know personally and who I think is absolutely full of the ability to assist you and bring you to your next level wherever you are. Good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Hi, Bob. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic today. Wow. Just watching.
I was on a call, you know. I couldn't break that up, you know. But I'll talk later. If you have time, call me. I'm free from another hour, okay? I want to talk about something very significant, which our friend Mojo touched on. You know, that's about, you know, the nun, Mother Teresa, and the Pope, what they were really servicing and all that, right? But I'm talking about what they internally feel is more important than their external things, you know. This was very important because in the ancient wisdom I investigated on, most of the people were like that because they had hoped for that. They called that liberation or moksha in Sanskrit or nirvana in Buddhism. So many names, right? But basically, they're talking about something in all of us, including you and me and everybody. But we are not touching that. That's why we go for the external things and think there is the our power or our desire. Everything is in there, you know. So they had a system, dharmartha kama moksha in Sanskrit. What do they mean is there is a universal law in the world that you have to follow. You want to go for the money, that's one thing. And you want to desire so completely fulfilled, that's another thing. But the caveat is they have to be done according to the universal law. And also they're limited. Even if you achieve lots of riches outside, they're limited in fulfillment. And also the desires are limited. I think we know that intuitively too, you know. And the last one, the liberation, that is something that you can touch upon and then go about working for the money or, you know, just not hoarding it, but sharing it. And also desires also have a meaning that way. So they are looking for something inward that is there and that can be really. So I was fascinated by this when I went into investigation into that. Like a scientific doctor, I went in there and then I kind of dug up the, you know, a lot of things from the ancient scriptures and all that, right? Not one particular religion, any religion also. Then what it is revealed is they found the center that is contented and happy and peace by itself. It's not going to be peaceful. It is peace itself, happiness itself, contentment itself. Once you are lodged in that, then anything else is really do not matter. And then they came out and worked for the welfare of society. They called that in Sanskrit like a Atma Mokshardam Jagat Hitacha. That means you go and find your inward forever fulfilling center and then go about working for the world. In Sarvita.
Yes, yes.
Very important because it's not that, you see, I have also been a member of American Association of Individual Investors way back in 1980, 81, when I came in, right? And then they gave a lifetime membership for $365 or something, which I took it. Ever since, they have been sending material to learn about the market, economy, and what's the role of this I think there is a noble purpose when they wanted to do that so that all the people will be helped to manage their monies and also pay for the essentials and also everybody who own a home. A lot of good things have happened. But then the same forces are there too, right? The greed and accumulating, hoarding, and also really exploiting elements of their human nature too. And then you got to be wise about what is that you want ultimately. Is that external riches only or internal fulfillment and satisfaction and contentment? See, that's where I shifted my gear towards that. And then however much suffering comes your way, you can take it. And there's another extra bonus though. Mananda prapti. That means extreme bliss is possible when you touch that.
Yes.
Center within.
Yes, it is, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what I wanted to present here so that you and everybody else will really see what that is center is and then touch that. And thereby, it doesn't mean that what you have learned about all the monies and all the money system, you know, I also know stock markets literacy and all the words they talk about because I put my effort into learning all that, you know. But there is a place and they don't interest me that much to accumulate as much as if I have the money, I will distribute. That's better, you know. But going beyond this also requires some really understanding, not as much as the work, but it's understanding and really studying ourselves in the relationship or life. first, we can see the boiler makers they used to call in 1980.
yeah.
You know, and then we saw those people who are really, I think a recent movie was Titanic Hero, what was that, DiCaprio. His movie was there, Wall Street Wild Dogs or something.
Yes.
And he was showing what the people have accumulated, but then how they ended up, and then all the, even that guy, Bosky.
We have plenty of representatives of people who have gone out. Bernie Madoff. The movie Wall Street, the Billionaire Boys Club. I mean, it's crazy, guys.
Yeah.
You know,
see, that is the universal law. See, when you do something like that, the universal law will get you ultimately, and that is the respect people had. For example, Mother Teresa and the Pope. He talked about, you know, if you look at that, what they are doing is a service, what they are doing is a peaceful internally. And those are the qualities that we want to emulate, not just the position or not just belonging to it, but understanding those wise patterns of life and internally mainly. And then you also participate in that, or you allow that to come into you. You are already set up with a lot of wealth already there.
Absolutely. Well, as always, you bring tremendous value, and the way you look at things is different, obviously, and you know that. And I think that's what makes you so special, Doctor, because I think you're not just coming at it from a purely medical PhD specific. You're looking at a lot of the fundamentals of the mind and how our minds handle all of this data. We've talked about that many times, and you know, I think I'm going to do a show again. We'll have that discussion, I think that you're somebody that corporate America needs right now, because as we try to get back on this horse called life, this business, we need some direction, because right now, you know, I think our country actually has a lot of issues with regard to, we don't have a lot of direction. And I think that from what I've seen of what you've done, it's just absolutely fantastic. So God bless my friend.
Something very, very nurturing for me is that Paramananda Prapti, I said, Parama means absolute. Ananda means bliss. Absolute bliss is possible in every human life. Only thing is, we have this mind evolved such a way it blocks that. So you got to understand the mind and go beyond the mind with insight, and then you will have touch that. Even if you touch for a few seconds, it's very fulfilling throughout the day. So I am very blissful because I'm always in that. You know, I'm probably very fortunate, probably. But understanding that and really staying there requires to understand our world, really take the good in it and the bad, keep it out consciously. You know what this means? It means there should be a revolution in our consciousness inside. That's the need of the hour. Everybody can do that, but then they are all stuck with whatever they have been brought up, or, you know, those kind of things. And that's why when you do the existence from the ancients to now, human experience has this. It's only we have to touch that. That's my modern physician job, is to show them, hey, there is a way to be very peaceful, contented, happy.
Yes. Yeah. He's peaceful. Peaceful. But in this world,
Physically healthy. You have to be physically healthy, and then mentally really clear and psychologically independent, and then you can touch this.
Wow. What do I say? I learn every time I talk to you, and our listeners do too. That's why we're here, and we made a promise to everybody that we're going to provide valuable content, and you add certainly to that content, my friend. I will be calling you in just a little bit, and I certainly appreciate that, sir.
Bye.
Thank you. Guys, this is Robert Paizola, and I am the CEO and president of Western Capital International. We're based in Las Vegas, Los Angeles, Miami, and New York, and what we're trying to do today is we're analyzing the market, although the market is kind of, it's up a little bit, but the same thing, the reason I said earlier in the message is Elon tanking Twitter. This morning I woke up and I found out that there was an issue with the tender offer that he made. So to those of you that are still here, I interviewed Robert Kiyosaki on back in October, and I want to play a little clip from that that for you, and you can take it for what it's worth. But to me, I put it in a clip form because this is very, very valuable information, and from my standpoint, looking at it from October, and I adjusted things after I heard this from him.
August 15th, 1971 was when Nixon took the dollar off the gold standard. And that's why our economy is in this very precarious position today. And we have never been here in the history of the world. I mean, we printed more.
All right, guys, this is a live conversation with Robert Kiyosaki and myself, October 25th, 2021 at 8 o'clock in the morning. This is what this man had to say. Now take a look at where we're at today. By the way, mortgage rates rise to 5.3%. That's LIBOR, so 5.3 is your base point.
August 15th, 1971 was when Nixon took the dollar off the gold standard. And that's why our economy is in this very precarious position today. And we have never been here in the history of the world. I mean, we printed more money in 10 years than we have in the last 10,000 years. You know, this is crazy. So what happened on August 15th, 1971, the 50th anniversary is coming up, is what kind of inspired me to question things. As I was saying to you when I first talked to you, I'm impressed with your generation because you guys are far more aware of what's going on, at least financially, macroeconomically, than any other generation in history. But my generation, the boomer generation, we were clueless. You know, so when August 15th, 1971 came, what people don't realize was right after that, we broke the agreement of the Bretton Woods Agreement, 1944. We promised the world the dollar would be backed by gold. Going back in time, so in 1933, it was FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who were my loves. The guy was a hardcore Marxist. He made owning gold illegal. Mm. And so 1934, you got to study history, Bretton Woods, 781, Nixon screws the world. But this is the thing that happened, Jay, that really screwed my generation of boomers. The 401k was born in 1974. So today you have my generation of boomers. They're hanging on.
Okay, so now remember what he just said. The dollar valuation was taken off the gold standard, and then the invention of the 401k, which of course is still the benchmark to a lot of people's financial success. Let's continue on. And again, this is from October 25th, 2021. I have to state that this is copyright 2022 Western Capital Media. Please do not copy this.
August 15th, Oops. 1971 was when Nixon took the dollar off the gold standard.
Well, anyway, it comes back to the point where he's discussing the fact that because the market has been changed so much, because the market has been in such chaos, because it is being held up, that it's going to go into its own traumatic descent. And so I'm just going to leave that with you. I'm not going to give you any advice. I'm just going to tell you that these are the things that are happening, my friends. This was supposed to end at 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock New York time, which would be 2:30 almost in New York right now. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to close this out because I want you to really, really, really understand who we are, what we do, guys. And thank you, thank you, thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. Thank you for all you do, for the support that you give us in all of our environments. Everything we do is made to bring your life to betterment, to bring you the happiness that you desire. And you know what? Sometimes it's not easy, but we're here. And as the CEO and president of Western Capital, I can tell you that we are making a difference. I can tell you that people are noticing who we are, and they are asking us to assist them in their businesses and in their personal life and in their financial life with their businesses. Keep that in mind, guys, because that's what we do. This is Robert Pizzella. You can go to robertpizzella.com, and all of my social media, at least I think most of it anyway, should be connected. So you can feel free to follow me, and we're going to definitely. We definitely will reach out to you. As always, this will go into syndication. So
any and all information obtained from this video is the intellectual property of Western Capital International. All rights reserved and should not be used without the express written consent of Western Capital. We appreciate your time, guys. As I said before, we are sponsored by Mercedes-Benz. And if you're wondering how that works, just kind of go through our talks. Go down to go through a couple of them in the past. Yesterday, we had one where I was on television yesterday. And then the one before that was, I don't remember, but there's one we talk about specifically about branding and marketing. And you'll learn the serious value of being marketed.
You've been listening to the world famous Change Your Mind.
Change Your Mind.
Change Your Life podcast. We hope we've helped you get on the road to do both. Make sure to like, rate, and review the show. We'll be back soon. But in the meantime, hook up with us on Facebook, Clubhouse, Twitter, Spotify, Apple Podcasting, Google Podcasting, and Instagram at Rob_Paisola. Reach out to us by phone at 1-800-373-8913 and send your questions or comments to VIP@westerncapitalmedia.com. Until next time, this has been the world famous Change Your Mind, Change Your Life podcast.